Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really? Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Shooting's been a hobby for me for at least the past 33 years. It helps you think in a way that is tactical and practical as well. Personal security, of course, has always been a concern. Especially as a prosecutor.
All rise.
My name is Ron Dersch. I'm a deputy prosecuting attorney for Snohomish County.
I'm trying the Jerry Jones case now for the third time. The case has spanned approximately 17 years of my career.
This is a shocking scene, I think, even to the veteran police officers who responded.
I'm Joe Ward. I'm a homicide detective for the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office, and I was here 17 years ago to investigate the murder of Lee Jones. Mrs. Jones had received a lot of injuries to her body. She had over 60 wounds, slashes, stabs.
She's in the bathtub while she is being killed. And she is vocal. She is yelling. She is screaming. She is battling her assailant.
It looked like she had fought for her life in that room and lost. Jerry Jones says he heard a noise and responded and found his wife stabbed. Then as he found her, someone brushed by him and pushed him against the wall and cut his hand. Jerry's story is unbelievable.
Detective Ward begins to realize that it just doesn't add up and that he has the murder suspect right in front of him. It was a great relief to get that first guilty verdict in this case. We have the Ninth Circuit deciding that it was a weak circumstantial case and that it should be retried. It's 2001 we did it the second time.
The jury finds the defendant, Jerry Bartlett Jones, guilty of the crime of murder in the first degree as charged.
A verdict that was extremely satisfying, one that I hoped meant the end of the case. The Court of Appeals of the State of Washington reverses us. Again, I'm quite angry and embittered by what the Court of Appeals has done. As a prosecutor, there are certain cases that resound in your consciousness, that affect you on some emotional level. This was one of them. So I was not looking forward to visiting that place yet again. I came to dawn. Round three.
Opening statement from the defense, Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Your Honor.
This trial had a strange twist as the murder defendant acted as his own attorney.
I've decided to represent myself.
He just keeps coming back.
Nobody knows the case better than I do.
It's almost as though he and I were meant to show up in the same courtroom and fight this thing out.
Defending your life. Tonight's 48 Hours Mystery.
I loved my mother very much, and if I had any doubt whatsoever that my dad might have done it, I wouldn't be standing by him like this.
For almost 17 years,
my sister and I can come down this evening.
Kim Jones and her younger sister, Beth,
our other interview starts at about 6,
have been on a mission.
There's no way that he did this.
Trying to prove their father, Jerry Jones Jr.,
no, this is wrong,
is innocent of brutally killing their mother, Lee.
Has there ever been a moment where you've said, maybe Dad did do this?
No. No. You have to know my dad.
No.
My dad is a very peaceful man.
He never even raised his voice at anyone in the family.
Jerry, how you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
48 Hours began following this story in 1999, when Jerry Jones was released from prison for the first time.
This is a dream come true.
After an appeals court ruled, his lawyer was ineffective.
My dad deserves freedom just like everybody else.
His release marked the beginning of an incredible legal drama.
In 2001, Jerry Jones was retried and reconvicted. And then remarkably, an appeals court reversed that conviction because the jury didn't hear crucial evidence. Now, Jones and his daughters are back for round 3. And this time, Jones will be represented by the man he says knows this case better than anyone, himself.
All rise. Court is again in session.
Do you have any legal training at all?
No, I don't.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury,
if they can get a feel for me as a human being, then they'll be convinced that I am not capable of murdering anyone.
The evidence will tell you that I loved my wife.
He'll be going toe-to-toe with the man who has prosecuted him twice before.
Please listen carefully to the evidence in the case.
Ron Dersch.
We do our best to make sure that murderers don't get away with murder.
The prosecutor will be unable to prove to you that I murdered Lee for one very simple reason. I did not do it.
And to ensure a fair verdict, this jury won't hear about Jerry Jones's earlier trials or convictions.
I'm not perfect, I've made mistakes, but I'm not a murderer.
I'd give anything if I could have her back right now.
It was Lee's beauty that first caught his attention back in 1970.
I encountered the most gorgeous creature I'd ever laid eyes on in my life.
When Jerry was stationed in Vietnam, serving in the Air Force.
She had these beautiful brown eyes and the most gorgeous smile you've ever seen. And for me, it was just love at first sight.
They married in Vietnam, and their first child, Kim, was born there. Within months, Jerry's tour ended, and Lee left her family behind and moved to the U.S. to start a new life.
Two more children are born,
mm-hmm.
Beth and Thomas.
Yes.
Jerry retired after 20 years in the Air Force, and the family moved to Bothell, Washington, just outside Seattle.
They were just in the prime of their marriage.
Look at those lovebirds. Oh, how sweet.
They were always hugging each other. They were always kissing, and just they were very close and very happy.
Jerry became a successful pharmaceutical salesman. Lee was a busy housewife, raising 3 children.
Everything in our home was encouraging and positive.
These are the last pictures of Lee, taken at a Thanksgiving celebration. 9 days later, she would be stabbed 63 times in the family bathtub.
When my wife needed me the most, I couldn't do it. I couldn't help her.
On the night of December 3rd, 1988, Jerry and Lee were at home with 4-year-old Thomas. According to Jerry, Lee had put their son to sleep, then went to the hallway bathroom to take a bath. Jazz music was playing from a radio in Jerry's study. He was across the hall in the master bedroom. His shower was running in the adjoining bathroom.
I heard this horrible scream. One loud, piercing scream. I'd never heard anything like that before in my entire life.
Jerry says he raced towards the bathroom door.
This is happening so quickly, so fast. You start perceiving that something is coming out. And as I'm moving closer to the doorway, you see more and more, and it's a knife.
Jerry remembers colliding with an intruder and reaching for the knife.
And in the process, I suffered some cuts. I'm knocked back. I hit my head against the wall. Boom. Fall to the floor. And I'm seeing these black and white flashing lights. And when I got up, there was nobody in the hallway any longer. I immediately went into the bathroom. And I encountered the most horrible situation I've ever seen in my life.
911, what do you have? What do you...
Hurry, my wife. She has been stabbed repeatedly.
I find my wife in the tub, and she is struggling. I said, my God, Lee, what happened? She was trying to speak. I'm convinced of that. I can recall this chattering sound of her teeth.
Can you tell me where she's stabbed?
All over.
Okay, is there a knife in her anywhere? Do not remove the knife.
Her eyes were wide open, and she was looking right at me, and I realized that she was losing her physical life very rapidly.
Will you help me help her?
I'll try. What can I do?
Is she breathing?
I don't think so. Ma'am, I think she's dead.
Amid this blood and chaos, Thomas woke up.
I went upstairs and I found my mother. She was in the bathtub and was bloody.
No father on this earth would want his son to see his mother in that condition.
It was one of the most violent murders I've ever seen. She was viciously attacked and she fought for her life. These are all scene photographs taken the night of the investigation.
Detective Joe Ward was the lead investigator.
All I could see was that I had a wet and bloody man with a hand wrapped in a towel and a dead wife in the bathroom.
I think they had already made up their mind. Lee is dead. Jerry is at home. Case is closed.
We don't have any witnesses that saw anybody run from the house. We don't have any DNA. There's really an absence of any evidence of an intruder.
Jerry, did you murder your wife, Lee Jones?
No, I didn't, Peter. They didn't do an investigation that night. And within 2 hours, I found myself under arrest for something I didn't do.
Making an arrest that night without talking to anybody else other than my dad was a very big mistake.
I'm the one who knows what happened on that December night better than anyone else.
As daughters Kim and Beth listen to their father's opening statement, they know this third trial may be his last.
There was no reason, no motive.
And his best chance to prove
it was an intruder who did it.
Someone else murdered Lee Jones.
You will hear that a disturbed teenage neighborhood boy committed this awful crime.
I think he's desperate. Too sure the finger is pointed elsewhere.
Wellness routines often fail for one simple reason, and I can speak from personal experience here. They're too complicated to stick with. Too many bottles, powders, and steps usually means they get skipped when life gets busy. Grunes is designed to simplify that. Grunes is a convenient, comprehensive formula in one delicious daily pack of gummy bears. It combines a multivitamin, green supplement, and prebiotic into one complete daily serving. Each serving comes as a daily pack of gummies because you can't fit this level of nutrition into just one gummy. It's formulated with intention, vitamins at 100% daily value, and minerals around 25% to support balanced daily nutrition. It also includes 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is 3 times the amount found in leading greens powders, and more than 2 cups of broccoli. Grunes ingredients are backed by over 35,000 research publications. Grunes is vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, with no artificial colors or flavors, and it is HSA FSA eligible. Save up to 52% off with code HOURS at grunes.co. That's code HOURS at GRUNS.co. Can you believe our country is turning 250? When it comes to furniture worthy of America's 250th birthday, Bob's has the styles all Americans want at the everyday low prices we deserve. Plus, everything is backed by glowing five-star reviews from real customers. For ultimate relaxation, check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa. It's a genuine leather dream with built-in charging and Bob-O-Pedic seats made for chilling in the AC all day. You can even grab the matching love seat and recliner. If you're hosting summer parties, the Homeworks dining set is a must-have, offering comfy Bob-O-Pedic seating and hidden storage in both the table and bench. For maximum flexibility, the modular Bob sectional is a customer favorite with over 1,000 five-star reviews. It features family-proof construction, wireless charging, and Bob-O-Pedic memory foam for hundreds less than competitors. It's just $250 per piece. It's a total steal. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
I lived in the shadow of the L, the J train. It ran about 10 feet from my window. My mom and dad owned a delicatessen there for about 35 years.
This Queens, New York neighborhood is a long way from Everett, Washington. But for prosecutor Ron Dersch, there's a close connection.
I think that Ron saw Lee Jones as someone similar to his mom.
Mara Rosano is Ron's wife and also a prosecutor.
His mom was someone very special in his life.
My mother was an immigrant, and she always spoke with heavily accented English. She was about 5'4", and her name was Elizabeth, and everyone called her Leah.
And he's determined to get justice for Lee Jones.
Here's the old case file.
Even after all these years.
This is all Jerry Jones. These are all his. Well, there's no doubt I'm sick of the case. Not sick enough to let him go.
As prosecutor Ron Dersch begins his case, he's feeling the pressure. He's won hundreds of trials, but now faces the possibility of professional humiliation. What if Jerry Jones, a self-taught lawyer wannabe who Dersch has convicted twice before, wins this case?
That'd be a hard one to swallow, wouldn't it? That'd be tough.
Is Jerry a good attorney?
I think he is. He's done a lot better than I have on occasion. Let's take you back to December 3rd of 1988.
Dersch believes his opposing counsel is, in fact, his best evidence.
The strongest piece of evidence is Jerry Jones. He is still here. He is still alive. Her autopsy will show that.
He tells the jury about Lee's defensive wounds, the blood spatter in the bathroom, and the cuts on Jerry's right hand, that Jerry says were caused by the intruder.
They're consistent with a defensive move on my part to knock the knife out of his hand when I encountered him in the hallway.
Showing you exhibit number 121.
But a forensic expert testifies the cuts more likely occurred when Jerry's hand slid off the knife handle.
Also, blood on the hand of the assailant can be transferred to the handle of the knife, making it slippery.
As he allegedly stabbed Lee dozens of times. Jerry counters with his own expert.
It's a cut. That's all you can say.
My fingerprints were not on the knife. My blood was not on the knife. And my DNA is not on the knife. How on earth is it possible to stab someone 63 times and yet leave no physical evidence whatsoever?
I think that he rinsed off the handle of that knife. I think he was fully aware that there would be some testing, fingerprint or otherwise.
The jury also hears that Jerry let crucial minutes pass.
3-5 minutes.
911, what do you have? Hurry.
Before calling 911.
Jerry, Lee is in the tub bleeding to death, and you still haven't called 911. I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
But Ron believes he knows why, In the midst of everything, 4-year-old Thomas comes upstairs.
And not just once, but several times, as far as we're able to tell. And at this point, Jerry's hands are already full. He's got a dying woman, he's got cuts on his hands, and here comes his kid.
Jerry takes Thomas back to his bedroom.
If you didn't kill Lee, why in the world would you have taken your young son back downstairs and left him there when you don't know whether or not the killer is still in the house?
Well, Peter, you're presuming, of course, that I'm thinking clearly, coherently, and logically at this point in time.
There is no intruder in the home, and there never was. The killer is Jerry Jones. He knows Thomas is safe downstairs.
Thomas comes upstairs again. This time, Jerry takes his son to Graham Smith, his next-door neighbor.
As I open the door, Jerry is there on the porch.
The judge has asked us to not show the faces of some witnesses.
Jerry said that he was watching TV. He was hit over the head. And when he came to, he found Lee bleeding and stabbed.
You tell your neighbor that you were struck on the head while watching TV. You tell the police that you collided with the intruder. Two separate stories.
I didn't tell two different stories. My response to him was, I hit my head, and when I got up, I found Lee bleeding all over.
It is only after he returns home that Jerry finally calls 911.
Yes, my wife.
What's the address?
160.
But he gives them the wrong address.
You're going to have to help me because we have a conflict with your address.
Lead investigator Joe Ward believes Jerry's mistake was intentional.
I think that's just another part of his plan to delay the response to the house just to make sure that his wife was dead.
It took the police 10 minutes to find the house. And when they went inside, they discovered Jerry wet and bloody. A forensic scientist testifies to scenarios of how the crotch area of Jerry's jeans became stained with Lee's blood.
One potential would be if the rail of a bathtub in this crime scene had been saturated with blood and an individual sat on that rail. The other object that I know is long and narrow and bloodied is the limbs, the arms and legs of Lee Jones.
I think at some point he is sitting on her to hold her down.
Sitting on her while he's stabbing her?
Yes.
Not true, says Jerry Jones.
I loved her. I did not murder my wife. I could not do it. There was no reason for me to do it.
In fact, Jerry says if he wanted Lee dead, he had his chance right here in their bedroom. It was during a rough period in their marriage. When the couple separated, Lee attempted suicide, overdosing on sleeping pills. Jerry found her and rushed her to the emergency room.
Their separation was the best thing that ever happened to them. They really realized how much they appreciated each other.
Look at those lovebirds. Oh, how sweet.
The couple soon reconciled.
In the last year before my mom died, they were very close.
Marriage was perfect. Maybe for him.
But Lee's friends, Barbara Sleeper and Mary McNaughton, say right before she was murdered, Lee was looking for a way out.
Jerry and his daughters can say anything they want to. He can talk about how in love he was and that they, you know, were reunited and everything else, but I knew that she wanted to get divorced.
Isn't it possible that Jerry Jones is innocent?
I don't see how it's possible.
But Jerry Jones insists he knows who really killed Lee.
Mosby, if you'd raise your right hand.
And he's about to put him on trial.
You think you'll see Busby today?
Probably.
You looking forward to that?
Not looking forward to that, no.
All rise.
State calls Daniel Busby.
We're not allowed to show his face.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I do.
But for more than 16 years, Jerry Jones has insisted this man is his wife's real killer.
Danny Busby did it, Peter. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Did you have a mouth on you back then?
Yeah.
Your wise ass?
Yeah.
Prosecutor Ron Dersch says there is no evidence that Danny Busby, then a 15-year-old teenager, was involved.
On December 3rd of 1988, did you murder Lee Jones in her house in Bothell?
No.
There is no connection, basically, between Danny Busby and the crime scene that night. All the DNA evidence tends to exclude Danny Busby.
But Ron knows Danny's tough guy presence will vastly complicate his case.
Chewing gum there?
Yeah.
You swallow that?
No.
He's kind of a loose cannon, and I'm concerned about that.
At the time of Lee's murder, Danny was a friend of Beth Jones.
I knew he had a crush on me.
A neighborhood loudmouth.
He was always the one that would initiate something troublesome.
Who liked to tease Thomas.
Growling at him like a lion or tiger and just scaring him.
And antagonize Lee.
He appeared to us to be just an obnoxious teenage boy. We know that he has grown and developed into a very disturbed, vicious, uncaring, brutal person.
Now, for the first time in three trials, Jerry Jones is allowed to tell the jury about Danny Busby's troubled past, a history of violence that Jerry says began the night that Lee died. He'll directly confront Busby about his assaults against ex-girlfriends and threats to kill people. It's evidence that Jerry Jones hopes will convince the jury that Danny Busby is capable of murder.
Mr. Jones, do you have any questions of Mr. Busby?
I do.
I think we're going to be allowed to paint him as the monster that he is.
Would you describe yourself as prone to violence?
I have been in the past.
Was it common for you to become so angry that you would lose control and black out?
Slightly.
What's it like for you to look into Danny Busby's eyes?
I see a disturbed person, a violent person, a person almost without a soul.
And would you describe yourself as having an uncontrollable temper?
At times, yeah.
Jerry says it was that uncontrollable temper that exploded after Lee banned Danny from visiting and calling Beth.
But you continued calling Beth, did you not?
Probably.
You continued to come to the house asking for Beth, didn't you?
It's quite possible.
Jerry claims that an enraged Danny was looking for Beth the night of the murder, but found Lee instead.
And he viciously stabbed and slashed and attacked her over and over and over again that night.
The problem with your allegation is that there's no physical evidence that Busby was at your home. There's no witness that places him there.
I think there is. I think there is. I think Thomas was awakened by a growling sound.
Do you recall ever growling at Thomas like a lion or a tiger to frighten him?
I don't recall.
Are you saying that never happened?
No, saying I don't recall.
Danny Busby growled at Thomas prior to going upstairs and murdering Lee. And he is the only person who ever growled at Thomas.
Ron Dersch believes if there were any growling sounds that night, they came from Jerry himself.
Is there growling going on? Is Jerry Jones grunting or growling while he's stabbing Lee? This is hard work. You take a look at those autopsy photos. This is hard work. This is not easy stuff to do.
Then there's Busby's long history of violence against his girlfriends.
Did you begin physically abusing Crystal?
Yeah.
Did you punch Vondra on the shoulder numerous times?
Yeah.
Did you throw Joey to the ground?
No, I pushed her.
Your Honor, I have no further questions at this time.
Things get even worse for the prosecution as those former girlfriends take the stand.
You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
We can't show their faces.
He was both verbally and physically mean.
He could be kind and fun 1 minute and then freak out.
He would just kind of snap and change personalities. He'd be so furious
They're very sympathetic people. There's just no question that he has put them through hell.
He gave me a black eye. He started kicking the crap out of me.
Pretty much attacked me and spit in my face.
But Ron Dersch says Jerry is using Danny Busby as a convenient scapegoat.
Remember that when we look at what Danny Busby has done as an adult, he has not attempted to murder anyone.
On any occasion did he, in your opinion, seriously try to kill you?
No.
He has not physically stabbed or assaulted anyone in the way that we have in this case.
Danny never threatened you with a knife or any kind of weapon, did he?
No.
And the challenge is going to be to draw that line between Danny Busby as a 15-year-old and Danny Busby as an adult.
Did he once tell your mother that she was dead?
Yes.
And has he also threatened to rape your mother?
Yes.
If the jurors decide that Danny Busby is volatile enough to have done this, then the case is lost.
All rise.
Defense may call the next witness.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
All of them wanted to be there.
I do.
All of them wanted to testify.
Yes, I do.
All of them wanted to tell their stories.
And all of them want to help free their father. To do that, Jerry is counting on their testimony to put then 15-year-old Danny Busby at the crime scene in December 1988.
Were you ever present when Danny Busby would growl at Thomas like a lion or a tiger?
Yes, he did that very frequently.
Did he ever growl at you?
I think so, yes.
What, asked Jones, did Thomas hear on the night his mother was murdered 16 years ago when he was just 4 years old?
I remember it being more animal-like than that.
He said he woke up when he heard growling noises and that a lion or a tiger got Mom.
He was repeating a lion or tiger had gotten Mom.
While I'm watching them testify, I'm thinking, you know, this is amazing. These people are flawless. They are polished. They are rehearsed. And you think to yourself, damn it, wise up.
While Beth, Kim, and Thomas lovingly stand by their father, Jerry Jones knows that it is his testimony, and not his children's, that jurors really want to hear. So as his own attorney, he decides to take the stand and come face to face with Ron Dersch, a confrontation 16 years in the making.
Once I knew that the case was coming back, it was clear to me that there'd be some sort of face-off.
I don't look at it as a match between Ron Dersch and myself.
The defense would call Jerry Jones, Your Honor.
I look at it as an opportunity to present the evidence to a jury of 12 people.
Solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth.
And prove my innocence.
But before Ron faces Jerry.
Jerry, did you kill your wife?
I did not kill my wife.
A public defender assigned by the court to advise him asked Jones to explain his bizarre behavior after he discovered Lee had been stabbed.
Did you at any point that evening go and get wet?
Yes.
How did you do that?
I ran into the master bedroom and heard the water running in the shower. And I went to turn it off and I felt a sting on my hand. Mm-hmm. And I looked and saw that it was bleeding and I just ran back out.
That's not the story Jerry told at his first trial.
Mr. Dersch, cross-examination.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Ron believes he's caught Jerry in a lie. He whips out the transcripts and reads Jerry's own words back to him.
I open the shower door, and instead of reaching in and turning the shower off, I step inside. Clothes and all, I let the water run from the top of my head down the front of my body. You recall testifying to that effect in 1989.
If that's what it says, that's obviously what I testified to.
I have no further questions.
After just a handful of questions, Dersch retreats.
I was amazed at how few questions Ron Dersch asked me. I believe he was fairly convinced that he had lost the trial.
I expected you to take off the gloves, that this was going to be a bare-knuckle confrontation with Jerry, and it seems like you played a little patty cake. Was that a strategy? Did you choke?
I couldn't get mad at him at that point. Just because I have a stick to hit him with doesn't mean I'm going to hit him with it.
But Ron uses that stick in his closing statement.
Exhibit one for the state is Jerry Jones, because he is still here. He is still alive. Danny Busby is as subtle as a brick through a plate glass window. Do you think, having listened to Danny Busby on the stand, having seen his behavior here, he could keep his mouth shut? Danny Busby is offered up as the boogeyman. And he was not. He did not kill Lee Jones. We know who did. And it's Jerry Jones.
For Jerry and his family, their long battle to win his freedom comes down to one final argument.
The prosecutor has failed to prove that I murdered my wife, Lee Jones, for one reason. I did not do it. As you know, I'm on trial here. You're going to go into that room soon and deliberate, and you're going to vote either guilty or not guilty. Jerry Jones's name is on that ballot. Danny Busby's name is not there. It's outrageous. It doesn't add up. I had no motive. I was not a violent person. I was not an explosive person. I'm the person you see standing before you today.
I think what the jury got to see was Jerry Jones acting in closing.
The crying?
Yeah.
Rehearsed?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Genuine?
No.
For the third time, Jerry Jones' fate is in the hands of a jury. In a scant 4.5 hours, the jury reaches a verdict.
Chime is changing the way people bank by offering a rewarding, fee-free banking experience built specifically for you. Unlike traditional old banks that hit you with monthly maintenance and overdraft fees, Chime believes you shouldn't have to pay to get your own money, which is why they provide access to thousands of fee-free ATMs. I'm always looking for ways to save on everyday purchases, especially with all the extra spending that seems to come up over the summer. Chime can make it easy to save by offering 5% cash back on your Chime card in categories like gas or groceries. Your savings will also grow faster with a 3.75% APY, which is 9 times higher than the national average. Beyond the savings, Chime offers flexible tools like MyPay, which lets you access up to $500 of your pay, and SpotMe, which allows for fee-free overdrafts up to $200. Chime is not just smarter banking, it is the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free. Head to chime.com/48hours. That is chime.com/48hours. It only takes a few minutes to sign up.
Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services from MyPay and Chime Card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges. Stated annual percentage yield and cashback for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. Checking account ranking based on a J.D. Power survey published October 20, 2025. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to chime.com/disclosures.
There are people you are told to trust. Lawyers, teachers, especially doctors. But what happens when you put your life in someone's hands and they betray you? The hit podcast Dr. Death is back, and this season is unlike any other. Dr. Death, the Cowboy, is the story of a charming neurosurgeon who rode into Western towns selling a persona of confidence and care. He wore cowboy boots in the operating room and became sought after by patients he promised to heal. Instead, he left a trail of broken bodies. This season is about a doctor who was never truly held accountable for the patients whose lives he ruined. A story of greed, betrayal, and a fight for justice that will leave you questioning who to trust. Listen to Dr. Death the Cowboy wherever you get your podcasts, or binge the entire series right now only with Audible.
All rise. Court is again in session.
After a grueling 3-week trial,
all parties are here. We have a verdict. Please bring in the jury.
Jurors reach a verdict in just 4.5 hours.
I'm thinking they came back too soon. They're going to walk it.
Ms. Jones, if you please stand for the reading of the verdict.
Oh, I'm expecting a not guilty verdict.
We all took it very seriously.
Just the weight of it was almost overcoming.
Jurors remember a tense courtroom as they filed in with their verdict.
I looked at Jerry Jones and I looked at Ron Dersch. I think both of those guys have had a very personal role in this thing for the last 16 years.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Jerry Bartlett Jones Jr., guilty of the crime of murder in the first degree as charged.
When you hear the word for the third time, guilty, what was that moment like for you?
You just shake your head in disbelief and what on earth are they thinking?
When I hear the word guilty, I'm thinking, this is over for now. This is over.
For prosecutor Ron Dersch, winning a third conviction is a tremendous relief.
Was justice served here today, Ron?
Absolutely. It was served in 2000. It was served in 1989. It's the right verdict.
All right. Yeah.
Thirty-six jurors from three trials have now heard the evidence in this case, and not one believes that you are innocent.
Yeah, that's very disappointing. I don't have an explanation for it.
You think you should have done anything differently?
I think I did everything humanly possible. I can't imagine anything more I could have done. Tell me what the evidence is that convinces you that I murdered my wife.
We went through everything and it just didn't fit. A lot of us look through every single piece of evidence, including the clothes, the knife, every single picture, making sure there wasn't something that we were missing.
That's why we took 4.5 hours, or else we could have came out of that jury room in 45 minutes.
Jurors didn't buy Jerry's version of events.
He had a lot of inconsistencies with his stories.
Or his explanation for the cuts on his hand.
It looked like there was at least 2 contacts with the knife that we could tell, which didn't match up with him telling us that he had a run-in with an assailant and knocked that knife out of his hand.
They also didn't believe Jerry's story of only hearing a single scream as his wife was being stabbed 63 times in the next room.
I've lived in a split-level house myself. I could be downstairs and hear stuff going on upstairs in the bathroom. I think there was a terrible struggle. And I think you would have heard that all over that house.
Can you tell me where she stabbed?
All over.
And after listening to the 911 tape several times.
On the whole 911 tape, he never cried.
No, never.
I thought that was odd.
And then he would put down the phone and run and go do this.
Sir, sir.
And put down the phone and run and go do that.
Hello?
When you're on the phone with 911, you stay on the phone.
You solemnly swear to tell the truth.
And what about Danny Busby? The person Jerry Jones claims is the real killer.
There was no evidence that Danny Busby was in that house that night. There was no DNA evidence. There was no blood evidence.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There was nothing that put Danny Busby in that house except Jerry Jones wanting him to be in that house, and he wasn't.
Jurors found Danny Busby unlikable.
Busby is a really nasty human being.
But believable.
He was being very honest about the fact he had hit the woman, he had pushed their head into the steering wheel. He had admitted to everything, but when it came down to, did you kill Lee Jones? No, I did not kill Lee Jones.
It was Jerry Jones they didn't believe.
Every move, every emotion he made seemed planned out.
I'm sure he's loving with his children and his grandchildren, but I think his wife was a whole nother matter.
He looks nice on the outside and he speaks with a soft tone, but he gives me the creeps.
He could not hide himself from the jury.
I did not murder my wife.
They saw through to him, to his essential core.
All rise.
5 days after being convicted,
State versus Jerry Bartlett Jones.
Jerry Jones is back in court for sentencing.
He is present, he is in custody.
And for the third time,
we stand up for him because we believe in his innocence, absolutely.
His daughters ask for compassion.
Everyone talks about how much we love our dad, but they seem to forget how much we loved our mother.
You can send him to prison, but prison isn't going to make us suffer any more than we already have in these last 16 years.
But for Pam O'Keefe, Danny Busby's mother, Jerry Jones doesn't deserve any sympathy.
The evil started the night Jerry Jones murdered his wife and the next day when he accused my son of doing it.
No one knows how years of being vilified affected Danny Busby's life. But his mother believes Jerry Jones needs to be punished for all the lives he's damaged.
I hope a day doesn't go by for the rest of your life that you don't think of your wife. How you took her life away from your children and then you accused a 15-year-old innocent boy. You have ruined so many lives.
When it's Jerry's turn, he seems remorseful.
Wish Danny Busby's name had not come to mind. I have no reason to bring his name into these proceedings.
Stop damaging Danny Busby.
Jerry is chastised one last time.
And let him heal and grow the best he can.
Before Judge James Allendorfer sentences him.
I'm going to sentence you for the third time in your life to 25 years in the penitentiary.
Got anything in your pockets at all?
But just a few months later, back in prison, Jerry Jones is defiant once again.
Do you owe Danny Busby an apology?
No, I do not owe Danny Busby an apology, and none will be forthcoming.
I think it's entirely likely that at this point he's managed to convince himself that he did not commit this murder.
For Ron Dersch, the battle against Jerry Jones is finally over. He's moving on, but not to another case.
I, Ronald Dersch, swear that I will support, defend, and obey.
Instead of prosecuting, he'll be enforcing the law.
You sure you want to do this?
Yes, sir.
Welcome aboard.
As a deputy sheriff. But the case that has consumed his life for so many years will be much more difficult to leave behind.
I don't know that anything we can do in a courtroom can really put the dead to rest. Clearly, the family has been damaged, I think, beyond repair by what Jerry Jones did. So in terms of whether Lee Jones can rest, well, I hope she can rest. The rest of us, I don't think can.
In 2005, Jerry Jones began a 3-year sentence, bringing his total prison time to 16 years. Jerry Jones was released from prison in 2008.